Hare Krishna. One thing I learned from His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami's clear thinking and strong speaking class was don't speak because you have to say something, but speak because you have something to say. What I have on my mind to say now relates to a discussion we had earlier in the day, which was not completed at the time because of the Abhishek, which was wonderful. So I thought I would speak a little on the question that was asked about different, devotees not diverting their attention to any form besides Krishna. What I was saying in it was that everyone has a natural attraction eventually when we're liberated, at least free from anarthas, pretty much, would have a natural attraction and to a particular form of the Lord. And whatever the form is, the person would be most satisfied in his relationship with that particular form and in his or her particular relationship. So it's not like, And then about separation, there is a pastime that took place at Prem Sarovara. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? And how many have been to Prem Sarovara? Well, Prem Sarovara is on the way to Varshana. And in this sacred place, Srimati Radharani and Krishna were sitting next to each other. And in fact, Krishna had his divine arm around the transcendental body of Srimati Radharani. Now, of course, we know that all of the, Krishna's body is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, and Srimati Radharani is Mahabhav Swarupini. She's like the personification of Mahabhav. Her whole body, her whole existence is Mahabhav, which is the highest extreme of ecstatic pure love for Krishna. So, while they were embracing, a bumblebee came around, perhaps mistaking Radharani for a lotus flower, and was looking for some nectar. But Madhu Mangal, Krishna's Brahmin friend, could see that this bee was hovering around and disturbing Srimati Radharani. So he took a stick and shooed the bee away. And when he had done so, he returned and said that the Madhu is gone and will never come back. So Madhu can refer to a bee and also to Krishna. And when Srimati Radharani heard these words, that the Madhu has gone away and will never return, she thought of Krishna. And although she was in Krishna's embrace, she was plunged into an extraordinarily deep mood of separation from Krishna. And nothing could get her out of it. And she was crying and crying and crying. And Krishna, seeing Radharani in such a state, also began to cry. And their tears made a pond, that is Prem Sarovara, that is made of their love, in the form of their tears. So later, Krishna considered this issue of separation, that as long as he's personally present in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan are always filled with a fear of separation from him. And he considered that association with him does not depend on physical association. And that if he left Vrindavan, then his devotees would not be preoccupied with that thought of his, quote, physical or personal presence or absence, but they could associate with him internally. And soon after the pastime in which Krishna killed Aristasura, as you may know, Kamsa sent Akrura to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And while leaving, Krishna assured the gopis, "I shall return." But apparently, Krishna did not return. So learned scholars have raised the question, what does this mean? Was he incapable of keeping his promise? Or was he a liar who gave his word without any intention of fulfilling it? And the Acharya's answer, no, it's not that he was incapable of fulfilling his promise, or that he gave a false promise. This is explained in the Krishna book. And they explained that Krishna was always present in Vrindavan in his bhava expansion. He was like invisible in one sense, but in another sense, he was present. And later, when Krishna sent Uddhava to deliver his message of consolation to Srimati Radharani and the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan, Srimad Bhagavatam describes a scene that is very joyful. The women are churning butter and singing songs about Krishna, and the cows are playing and frolicking, and everyone is very happy and joyful, just like when Krishna was there. And then when he arrives in Vrindavan, Srimad Bhagavatam describes a very different scene, that the devotees are almost dead in separation. They are not eating. They're not bathing. They're not putting on fresh cloth. They're hardly maintaining their bodies and souls together. And so the acharyas explain that there are, as you'd say, sort of two manifestations of Vrindavan, or two dimensions. And in one, Krishna is there in that bhava expansion. Vrindavana parityaja eka padam nagacchati. Krishna does not take one step out of Vrindavan. And in the other, the devotees are externally experiencing symptoms of separation from Krishna. So this is a a lesson for us, or an indication for us, that when our feelings of separation are strong enough, they bring us to the point of meeting. If not externally, then internally. And there's a very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in which one gopi says to another, you know, looking at the beauty of Krishna and Balaram, of course, their real interest was Krishna. I mean, yes, Balaram was the older brother, but their romantic interest was in Krishna. But they had to be very careful of what they said, because they were trying to hide their feelings for Krishna, because such feelings were considered not just inappropriate, but unconscionable, because they were already married, or else they were unmarried and under the protection of their elders. So to cover their special interest in Krishna, they would talk about the beauty of Krishna and Balaram. And so one gopi said to the other, others, you know, describing their beauty, that there is no greater object of vision. We might have got a little sense of that when we saw the deities, Shri Radha Kalachandri. There's no greater object of vision. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the purport, which is that why are we staying at home, worrying about what our parents or husbands or mothers-in-law or sisters-in-law will think or say or do? There is no higher object of vision than Krishna or Krishna and Balaram. So we should go. We should not worry about all these things. We should just go. So sometimes we also have these dualities. We want to go to the temple, we want to go to Vrindavan, but our duties, our spouses, our parents, our children, should I, shouldn't I? So the gopis were also perturbed by such questions, of course on a very high transcendental level. And it's a very intricate topic because it's actually too intricate. Not too intricate for you to understand, but just too intricate to discuss in our limited time. But in short, when their feelings of separation were too strong, or their desire was too strong, they actually did leave their homes to meet Krishna. But by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, a sort of a duplicate body was left at home. So none of their relatives got upset. Otherwise, if their relatives knew that they had left home, spent the night with Krishna, they would not have been welcomed back. But because of this special arrangement, they were able to spend the night with Krishna and come back, because to the vision of their family members, they had been at home. So this is also an art. Of course, again, that's on a different level, but this is also an art. How to fulfill our desires to serve Krishna and Radharani and not upset our family members too much. A little bit, of course, people are always getting upset anyway. You know, whether you go to Krishna or don't go to Krishna, people get upset with us. Might not like the way we squeeze the toothpaste. I mean, there's always going to be some issue. So we can't avoid the issues. But still, we want a sort of peaceful, relatively peaceful, stable, secure environment in which to practice Krishna consciousness. And so we have to sort of learn how to serve Krishna, fulfill our desire, which is really Krishna's desire, Mahaprabhu's desire, Nityananda Prabhu's desire, Prabhupada's desire, that we serve Krishna, but at the same time maintain a relatively peaceful situation at home. Of course, Krishna has his own plan for each of us, or Radharani's mercy will manifest in the lives of each of us in different ways. And we have to be open to that, but that's the general idea. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Giridhari Swami, you might have noticed a similarity in our names. Giridhari means the lifter of the Giri, Govardhan Hill, and Giriraj means the hill. So in case you don't know, I'm actually being held up by Giridhari. And he has ordered me to continue speaking, so so coming back to this this question of separation, which is so much Radharani's mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. When we talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming in the mood of Radharani, it's mainly in the mood of separation. In the Gambira, in his room in Jagannath Puri, how he was experiencing extreme feelings of separation from Krishna. That was actually Radharani's mood of separation from Krishna. And in fact, when Krishna left the rasa dance, how many of you have read Krishna book? I mean, every devotee should read Krishna book. In fact, even if you're not a devotee, you should read Krishna book, and you'll become a devotee. But after, so you know that Krishna played on his flute, stood under the Vamsivat tree near the Yamuna River and played on his flute. And that the sound of Krishna's flute is actually one of his messengers. In Vrindavan, there are messengers or duties because there's so much concealment in Vrindavan because of Parakya Ras. So one of Krishna's messengers or duties is his flute, the sound of his flute. And so when he played upon his flute, he was sending a personal message to each and every gopika, calling them to be with him, telling them where he was and how much he was missing them and how much he needed them. So each one got this personal invitation from Krishna, unaware that other gopis were also going to meet him. And so they rushed to Vansivat. And Krishna reciprocated with them. But then after some time, he left them. And they were all plunged into separation. And at first, Krishna... So when the gopis were looking for Krishna, they saw that there were two pairs of footprints. And then they understood that Krishna was not alone, but that he had gone away with some other gopi. And in the transcendental arrangements for Parakya Ras in Vrindavan, Radharani has her rival named Chandravali. And then Radharani has her gopis who are attached to her, and Chandravali has her gopis who are attached to her. So when the gopis in Radharani's camp saw that, oh, Krishna's with Radha, they were very happy. So they were in a hurry to catch up to Radha and Krishna so they could assist the divine couple in their pastimes. And the others, well, they weren't so happy. But then Krishna, he also left Radharani. It's all described in Srimad Bhagavatam or the Krishna book, how Radharani... Radharani told Krishna, you can take me wherever you like. Now this is very different from Radharani's usual mood, because in among the gopis, so there are two general moods among the gopis. One is Vamyabhav, which means left wing, and the other is Dakshinabhav, which means right wing. So in Vamyabhav, the gopis, and the leader is Radharani and her associates, they believe that Krishna is more pleased when they are contrary to his wishes. And Chandravali and her supporters believe that they should please Krishna, or devotees should please Krishna, by doing what Krishna asks. So, in this context, Vamya means contrary, and Dakshina means favorable. Therefore, we give Dakshina to sadhus, so that they'll be favorable to us, or so that we'll remain favorable to them. But so transcendentally, Radharani is in that Vamya Bhav of contrariness. And in the science of rasa, Madhurya rasa, the rasa increases when there's contrariness. So when Radharani told Krishna, "You can take me wherever you like," Krishna thought, "What is this? She's agreeing? She never agrees." And for the rasa to be strong, one of the parties has to disagree. So Krishna thought, well, if she's not going to be contrary, then I will have to be contrary. And so he left her. He disappeared. And so eventually all the different groups of gopis who Krishna had called with his flute, they came upon Srimati Radharani in such intense separation that they had never seen before. And that is also part of when the other gopis, even the rival gopis, saw Radharani in such extreme separation, they felt sympathetic toward her. So that is also it's part of Madhurya rasa, and in a way it's just part of any devotee's heart to feel sympathy. So all the gopis, even the rivals, they felt sympathetic toward Srimati Radharani. And then they all together, as one group, united, began to look for Krishna. And when their separation reached the highest level, Krishna appeared before them again. And this was one of Krishna's inner motives, that initially he had called all the gopis individually through his flute. But when they got there, different gopis were having different thoughts, that, oh, that one was that one, you called that one too, and that one, and that group is there, and that group is there. So they were not united, and there was some, like you could say, transcendental envy or jealousy. But Krishna, in this particular case, he had other pastimes with select groups, but in this particular case, he wanted all the gopis to be united. And so he left them with Radharani. And then when he left Radharani and they saw how extreme her separation was, which means how deep her love and attachment for Krishna was, they felt sympathetic for her, and they also felt, no, none of us has such feelings for Krishna as she has. They accepted it. And then all those feelings were gone, and all the gopis were united as one group. And then together they sang out their songs of separation. And again, when their Sankirtan, this is Sankirtan, all together calling out to Krishna, singing the glories of Krishna, when their Sankirtan reached that stage of separation with tears of love for Krishna, Krishna reappeared. This is also an instruction how we can attract Krishna through Sankirtan, all together, united, but with love in feelings of separation. And then, again, so the gopis felt that when Krishna reappeared, it was as if their lives had come back into their bodies. But still, some of the gopis harbored some feeling that we left everything to come to Krishna in the middle of the night, in the dead of night, and Krishna left us. He didn't reciprocate properly. So there was some discussion. And as I mentioned in the morning, Krishna gave the example that when a rich man loses his money, he might take it for granted when he has it, but when he loses it, he thinks of it all the time. So Krishna gave that example. And he said that, in effect, he said that, I know your heart's innermost desire. Your innermost desire is to increase your love for me. So by my separating myself from you, I was actually reciprocating with your deepest desire to increase your love for me. Jai Sri Krishna.
Jai Radhe.
But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there because the nature of the gopis' love and Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna is that it's always increasing. He doesn't have to do anything to make it increase. It's always increasing. So what was the real reason? So in the end, Krishna admits that actually I'm unable to repay my debt to you. In other words, he admitted, I can't reciprocate. What you have done for me, I cannot do for you. And so as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he He showed us the confidential feelings of Radharani. And as Krishna, he felt separation just like Radharani felt. And so just one last pastime, very sweet pastime. In Vrindavan, there's a place called Imlital. How many of you have been to Imlital? Yes, Imlital is a tree. So when Radharani, so when Krishna left Radharani, so in separation she rested at that tree, and she was so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna that her body turned sham. It became blackish. Later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna, but with the complexion of Radharani, he also came to the same place, to the same tree. And in the mood of intense... Wait a minute. Anyway, in the mood of intense separation from Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu... Wait, I got something wrong here. Anyway, one of the times Krishna became white. maybe it was, sorry about this, that the first time Krishna went, in thinking of Radharani, he turned white, whitish, gory. And then the second time is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, he turned sham. So there are, of course, we have Radhakala Chandi, there are ISKCON temples where Krishna is whitish. Juhu, Radharasa Bihari. But there is a form of Krishna at Imlital, feeling separation from Radharani, where he was so absorbed in thoughts of her that he turned gory. Yeah, and then when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling separation from Krishna, he turned sham. Anyway, whatever good I have said, it is my credit. Whatever bad I have said, it is His Holiness Giri Hari Swami's fault, because he told me to speak. Hare Krishna.
So on that note, it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, in his spoken lectures or his room conversations, his talk, he really doesn't speak very much about Srimati Radharani. We find in the Bhagavatam, Krishna book, Nectar of Devotion, and a few other places, he speaks some of the pastimes, some of the philosophy, but when it comes to spoken, he speaks very little. And in all of the talks that he gave on Radhastami, you know, he often starts with, "Today is the most auspicious appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Deyanyoshvin yatadehe kovanam yobanam jara. You're not the body." Then he goes on for the whole lecture to explain you're not the body. Now, there may have been reasons for which he did that, perhaps to bring the devotees up gradually, the audience he was speaking to. But on the other hand, it's clear that he had so much faith for Srimati Radharani. He constantly was chanting the holy name. When we talk about Hare, we're addressing Srimati Radharani, so he's always speaking her name. But there's one nice passage from a lecture that he gave in 1971, which was in London. And he really says it all right here. He says, so if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through the mercy of Radharani, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends that this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however fool I may be. Because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore, in Vrindavan, you'll find all the devotees, they're chanting more Radharani's name than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you'll find the devotees who are addressing Jai Radhe.
Jai Radhe.
You'll find still in Vrindavan, they are glorifying Radharani. They're more interested worshipping Radharani. Because however fallen I may be, if some way or other I can please Radharani, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. Srimati Radharani ki. And in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think we should do a little Sankirtan, right?
Yeah.